Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. Lovely Fortuna, wonderful fall day. This is the meeting of the North Coast Region Water Quality Cohort for introductions this morning. I will start on my far right with Irene Times from Crescent City, Ms. Heidi Harris from Salyers, Mr. Bill Massey from Forestwood. On my left is Mr. Jeff Hales from Eureka. And on the far left is John Corbett from McKinleyville, and I'm David Dorn from Sebastopol. Matt, would you please make a step?
Yes, good morning. On my right is Acting Assistant Executive Officer David Leland, Staff Counsel David Rice, and Samantha Wilson. In the back, we have Russ, who is helping with sound, Patty Corsi, who's helping with all things, taking public comment cards, Elena is helping on sound and recording, and Lita Mangelsdorf is taking notes for us today during our workshop.
Thank you. Ex parte communication disclosure is a time for board members to disclose conversations they've had outside of normal board meetings or procedures. Mr. Massey.
Mr. Chair, since our last meeting, I have spoken with both federal and state officials as well as local and county officials regarding those conversations.
Thank you. Moving on. We have in the house this morning, we have Mr. Steve Moore and Mr. Ludward, which brings us to news.
Yes.
Good morning, board members. It's a pleasure to be here in Fortuna, on the banks of the Eel River, America's fourth greatest river, except certain years, it's the biggest river in California.
State your name, please.
As you know, I try to organize my reports from the State Water Resource Control Board for the order of talking about budget and recent activities, upcoming activities.
You need to respond as needed.
Excuse me, can you state your name?
I'm Stephen Moore, board member of the State Water Resource Control Board. And so, budget, activities, and then wrap up with a little bit of legislation talk that relates to our across the program. So on the budget, this week, it was a very busy week. I could take a lot of your precious time, and I won't, but we had a very busy week at the State Water Board. And a long board meeting on Tuesday, where we covered a lot of territory, part of which was budget. In terms of looking at our revenues and our expenditures and trying to balance our books. And so this week we approved fee increases for all water board regulatory programs except the water rights program, which will be addressed next month. Last year we skipped fee increases and we expended all of our surplus and reserves and went to the rep. Going forward, we should expect to see annual incremental fee increases to keep pace with the cost of living increases instead of the large 25% fee increase that we saw this year. Because of the exceptional economic strain to dairies in particular, we phased in their fee increases to soften the blow and look at ways to restructure how we categorize areas for feed collection to better align fees with water quality issues and their capacity. So in this discussion, it's very complex. We were not tone deaf to really severe economic issues. But I remind the regional board and folks in the audience that since we are now a fee-based agency and do not receive virtually any taxpayer money from the general fund to conduct our activities, these fees are a way of life for us going forward. due to decisions made by the state legislature. And so, related to this, though, we're not, we know the importance of this issue for carrying our program forward and working with folks on the ground. So, concurrently, on Tuesday, we also passed a resolution that we've been working on for the last year and a half on working with stakeholder groups in different regulatory program areas, including agriculture, on addressing the costs of compliance with our regulatory program. So there's the fee aspect, but certainly there's the monitoring, reporting, everything else that goes along with that program. So we're taking an honest look, getting input about looking for opportunities to gain efficiencies, get the same important information, the same implementation and review public practices and that sort of thing, but learn from other regional boards, other programs about how we can be more efficient. And so this is a detailed resolution that we passed to continue to pursue pilot projects to make our programs more efficient. So if you're interested, it's all on the web. The links to our agenda as far as the details of that resolution. And then also we release, as we do each September, and this is our, I believe our fifth, it could be our sixth, I'm losing track, but our annual performance report. And that's where we gather information from all the regional boards and the state board programs. And in an effort to be more transparent about where those fees and the resources that we get from other agencies go. And this year, we were pleased about the staff's effort to report more on the water quality outcome. So a feature that was added to this year's annual performance report was these fact sheets on TMDLs throughout the state, including this region and all other regions, that show water quality data since the TMDL was adopted. And we thank staff here at this region and other regions for assisting state board staff in presenting this information. Because ultimately, I think we can agree that we want our performance to be based on environmental and water resource outcome over output. You know, output being permits, inspections, reports of review, and that sort of thing. We still need that, but we're better recognizing, I think, collectively that and trying to quantify outcome and later measures of our performance. So that was the budget related and activity related items. Now, I think you've heard that this week, and we have an item on your agenda about agricultural discharges. And it is indeed true that the State Water Board adopted its own motion review of the Central Coast Region conditional waiver for discharge from irrigated agriculture. And we passed that. We had, and that was on September 24th. That was after a year ago we stayed portions of the original Central Coast Regional Board order. And then in July we had a workshop. We had an August 20th draft of our order, circulated for comment. We had then a September 10th hearing on a September 9th draft. Then we had a September 20th draft, which we had comments on the September 9th draft. So we had several iterations of input and fine-tuning. So we had a taste at the state board level of some very detailed, fine-point work. And so it was very difficult but important to gain trust of all the various parties involved in it. And I wanted to just communicate, rather than taking down the details that would be a long time, that the State Board, I can speak for myself, but generally we're not interested in just taking the results of that process and wholesale applying it in other regions. You know, there are very specific issues in the Central Coast agricultural arena that raised issues about existing impairments, of groundwater, surface water, and how we go about reaching better outcomes. And what's going on there doesn't wholesale apply to Central Valley, nor the North Coast, nor other parts of the state. But we do encourage you to learn about that process and to take advantage of progress we've made in certain areas. And I'll just leave it at that. We're very happy to have it off to death. And, you know, it's not perfect, but we certainly sharpen our pencils, as they say. And so it's done. Now, on a happy note, has anybody here heard of the National Water Quality Initiative?
Got one.
Good. Well, in the state of California, this is a huge deal again, okay? But I recognize that it's a step in the right direction, and it relates to agriculture. The National Water Quality Initiative is the USDA, Department of Agriculture, and their National Resource Conservation Services commitment to work with the US EPA and state water agencies to coordinate implementation of an initiative that's outcome-based, okay? Great idea. And really, to cut to the chase, what's exciting is this is actually farm bill money being spent to work cooperatively with folks to address water resources and water quality. And so, you know, NRCS was pressured to open up its selection process in the state. And it's not massive. Just to give you perspective, you know, we've got 164,000 square miles in the state, right? And a lot of that is in agriculture. And this initiative, our scope, about 4,000 acres, okay? It's not huge yet, okay? But that said, it's institutionally important in terms of aligning organizations at the federal level and state level. Let's just say we don't always work closely together. So it's an opportunity to have funding to do this. So to let everybody know, you know, we're in the second year in the state on this National Water Quality Initiative. And Region 1 is one of the regions where the work's getting done. And as well as Region 4, the LA region. And last year, actually, some work got done in terms of funding with voluntary efforts, landowners that opt in to the program, those who are interested in participating. And the Garcia River watershed was the initial pilot watershed last year. The news we received was actually there's no more interest there. You know, the interested landowners who wanted to participate are. And so we're looking for spending this money elsewhere. And Salt River watershed, just around the corner, is the selected watershed, along with the Calaveras Creek watershed in Oxnard, California. So what's going on with this? This is a collaborative effort that's based on a team concept. And the team includes liaisons on the ground. And this is something that our State Board of Irrigated Lands program is trying to encourage, recognizing that we have better outcomes when we work cooperatively with NRCS, the Resource Conservation Districts, UC Extension folks, the Farm Bureau, agricultural commissioners at the county, and then the Water Board is a partner in that group, engaging interested landowners. And so that principle made us competitive in this national program because other states in the country don't have corticolone. So they're not as far ahead as far trying out things, failing, succeeding, working with agricultural community to really, you know, bring best practices into the daily routine. So we're competitive nationwide to be able to advance the idea of a team approach, and then there's a monitoring component that will help us gauge our environmental outcome. And Salt River, right around the corner here, will be one of these projects for this the second year of the National Water Quality Initiative. I thought, you know, I always like to bring good news to the region. Money's getting spent here.
Yes.
Effort at the Sacramento level is being directed here. And so, other things I just wanted to bring up that I think are pertinent to the region. We're real interested in outreach to small disadvantaged communities of the state. And our staff participated in a meeting with the California Rural Water Association on September 10th regarding technical assistance for small disadvantaged communities facing wastewater issues. This meeting, you know, included discussion of administrative hurdles renewing a technical assistance contract, which is going to expire in November 2013. And what is this technical assistance includes preparation of financial assistance applications, doing troubleshooting at wastewater treatment plants, and assisting with planning rate setting for small disadvantaged communities. So we held a meeting for stakeholders to provide comments at the end of August, including the Rural Community Assistance Corporation, California Rural Water Association, Clean Water Action, Environmental Justice Group, and other organizations that provide assistance to small disadvantaged communities. And so we're going to have an informational item at the October 22nd State Water Board hearing about this item, and we have information on our website about that. In the area of water rights, on August 27th, the Division of Water Rights staff attended a regular meeting of the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors to discuss current dry conditions of local rivers and streams. And as you know, I mean, you probably know, but it's good to remind folks that this year wasn't necessarily categorized as a critically dry water year, but that was because of the exceptional rain we received early in the wet season. If you look at January to June of 2013, it is by far the driest January through June in the historic record. So it affected all regions in the state. And so in this context, the representatives from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, San Monica Restoration Federation, and Sanctuary Forests attended this meeting at the Humboldt County Supervisors as well. During the discussion, general information about state laws for water rights and fisheries was shared, as well as experiences of some local advocacy groups with projects to increase the ability for water diverters to store water in the winter to avoid diverting water in the summer. As a result of the meeting, the Board of Supervisors voted to convene an ad hoc committee to discuss ways that the county can work cooperatively with state agencies and resolve some of the impediments that may be preventing water diverters from investing in water storage. And so our Water Rights Division staff will participate in this ad hoc committee. And I think this is very pertinent to the regional water board folks to be dialed in, because it's conceivable to me that one of the regulatory impediments may be our own programs, but this group some misunderstanding, and as long as we approach things holistically, we can help with our regulatory programs to provide incentives to do the right thing and look at it from a big picture, not just the narrow blinders of one program like the 401 program. All right, so if you're not tired of hearing my voice, I can move on to a little bit of the legislation work. It is that time of year. And the bills related to water in the legislature, there were 12 that were adopted by the legislature in the middle of the month. And now it's fluid because the governor is still looking at bills. I should note that the Assembly Bill 1393, which was put the drinking water program for the Department of Public Health under the Water Board, did not pass, but there continues to be a lot of activity and interest in the governor's office to integrate drinking water into our stakeholder program. So So that continues to be an active item. And because these bills have a two-year life, this bill could come back into discussion next year as well. So we'll continue to keep you updated on that. Real quickly, AB 30 from Perea passed legislature. It would eliminate the December 31st, 2013 sunset date of the existing law, which allows the State Water Board to assess a charge in lieu of interest on loans or other financing from the from the Clean Water State Revolving Fund to use the revenues from the charge to provide grant money to small disadvantaged communities for wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal. So there was also a $50 million cap in existing law that this bill proposes to remove. So that $50 million upper limit of these fees collected to help small disadvantaged communities is proposed to be removed. I think that's good news for disadvantaged communities. And then finally, the bill you've all been hearing about is SB 4 from Senator Pavley on hydraulic fracture wells, and it passed and was signed by the governor. And my sense is, from taking the temperature from the different interested parties, it almost sounds like nobody's happy. it's a difficult issue that I've studied a bit. It isn't so straightforward as some of our other programs where you do an activity and there's an easy way to measure the response. I'll just put it that way, because of how deep these wells tend to be in the state of California. So the bill would establish a program for regulating well stimulation treatments, including hydraulic fracturing. Among its provisions, it would require the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, they're known as DOGGR, and they're part of the Department of Conservation. They're to adopt regulations for well stimulation treatments by January 1st of 2015. And the Secretary of the Natural Resources Agency is to commission an independent scientific study on well stimulation treatments by the same date, January 1st, 2015. So we've got the regulations, the science study, and then we have agreements with DOGGR on how regional and state boards interact with this issue. They were adopted, there's an MOU in 1988, I believe. And so it's to be updated so that the state and water, state and regional boards are integrated with the DOGGR's regulations. Formal agreements. And number four, oil and gas well operators are to submit groundwater monitoring plans as part of their well stimulation permit applications, and then the water boards will review and approve the plans. And then the rates or influences an aquifer that is designated for best beneficial uses. And then there's a fifth and sixth thing. Fifth, the State Water Board designates one or more qualified third-party contractors to perform water quality sampling and testing. And the State Water Board or applicable regional board will audit and review the sampling and testing performed by this contractor. And then finally, the State Water Board will develop criteria for groundwater monitoring programs and implement a regional groundwater monitoring program. And there's a lot of details. It involves using our existing tools, the GeoTracker Gamma, which is groundwater energy monitoring assessment program. So you have a good platform to move from to organize the information. But the information we have throughout the state tends to be in more shallow groundwater areas. We don't have a lot of information at the ready to evaluate whether hydraulic fracturing is having a signal in our water resources. And so it continues to be a question, and yet we are very different from other states in terms of the proximity of this well stimulation activity geologically, vertically, from our water resources. We have a lot more separation than Pennsylvania, North Dakota, New York, and other areas where they're having very significant water resources challenges. So I taking a lot of time. If you may have some questions, or we can certainly move on. But thanks for your audience and attention on all these statewide matters.
So thank you very much. I know that our staff has been working with water rates as well, coordinating some of the information they have on diversion and that kind of work. From my experience, the registration process versus an appropriative rate has been a very nice process to go through, whether it be for small domestic livestock irrigation or small irrigation. So thank you for having your staff come over and work on this. It's a super important issue. Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I just have a... First of all, I think James Schimmer get a fee waiver to a tax and then you get funded that way as opposed to a fee for service. I think so. Second thing is, I would encourage the state board to allow a little experimentation in the regional board on the area of marijuana cultivation and some of those problems. It's a statewide problem, but I think if you live here, you've had some experience with it. And I can't lay out a roadmap, but I think we're going to try some things that are worth experimenting with. And we, of course, will comply with the state, but give us a little latitude. I would be appreciated.
Yeah, I'll say I, as one board member, support that. Coming from the regional board myself, I understand the importance of that. And I report on your activities with the state board, and I highlight this area.
We're in real trouble.
Well, I think you're going about it the right way, in my humble opinion, which is to, you know, to really put the task forces together and multiple interested parties and agencies. So I've been really advocating at the state board level for your efforts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. I also want to appreciate the state board's going to look at the water storage issue and work with Humboldt County. Probably my biggest concern is any way to measure whether at the end of the day you have more water coming out or less water coming out. And that's very challenging because we don't have the people in the system in the first place. But I do think it's worth, again, experimenting and trying some better approaches than we've used in the past. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, there's some good organizations. One is the Center for Ecosystem Management Research, known as CMAR, and they work with landowners, and they have some good stories out there where when you really look at the balance of water use and the timing, and they can focus in on where the big bang for the buck is, do some cost-effective offstream storage, and solve everyone's water quantity needs. The timing, it's not just there's not enough water, but there's when the water comes, and with some advanced planning, there's a lot of fertile ground out there for improvement in efficiency.
Mr. Moore, all the way back to the beginning, did I understand that you said that the fee increases for this year are 25%?
Some larger, some smaller.
Okay. And that we essentially are going to index fees after that in order to avoid large increases?
Yes. Over the last few years, there was some detailed discussion at the hearing. And to paraphrase, certain general funded programs were brought into fee supported, such as SWAMP, the Surface Water Energy Monitoring Program, GAMMA, like I mentioned earlier, the Basin Planning Program. So now these are brought into fee support. And so there were these stepwise increases to be able to fund those programs within the fee structure. It does cause a jolt up there in terms of these 25% and higher fee increases. I believe, based on the information I've seen, that the Division of Administrative Services is charting a course for a more stepwise incremental fee increase going forward, so we don't have to absorb the shock of these large fee increases. So it should be more like 3% framework. But except for the dairy example, and there's always exceptions where we soften the increase this year, there'll be another stepwise for them to catch up. Because it is closely tethered to our staff level of effort. And we're trying to really tie that in closely. Hence, not freezing fees last year and going down to the quick as far as losing, not having a surplus, and we need to build a little bit of a reserve just as, to be fiscally responsible.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Ms. Dennis.
Am I on? Yeah. This is going to sound rather naive, probably. You started out by saying, and as you know, we're just fee for service. We don't get any money from the general fund. Is there anything at the state board level that you're doing that you're campaigning to get money from the general fund again? I mean, because honestly, it seems most fair, and I think we probably all agree, including you, that taxpayers pay for water quality too. Not just, right? So, I'm just curious, when you talk about legislation, are you out there sort of knocking on the door to say, gosh, can we take back a little bit from the general fund? We're not asking for a lot. A small piece. I'm just curious, is there work being done, or is that just politically incorrect?
Well, it's a reasonable question. In terms of there's a pendulum effect, and this pendulum swung too far, to be based, and I think it's a good, challenging question. At our level, we do annually look at legislative concepts, and we think about an area that really needs some help, for this, that, and the other thing, or to empower certain things to happen. So we do go through the process, and this year there were about 34 concepts, and we've advanced a few to 5 or 6 to Cal EPA. We're kind of under the California Environmental Protection Agency umbrella of agencies. And that particular issue didn't reach the 5 or 6. Honestly, it hasn't raised to a level, of putting a legislative concept together. There isn't a champion, if you will, for that point. I think it's worth having a discussion, but honestly, it hasn't been advocated in that arena, which is the only arena where we would ever advocate for a law.
Well, you have a champion here.
Well, and I think also look at that in a different way. I think if we look at how we've tried to structure programs over time, the regional board is to incentivize our community out here to do to get to that lesser permit requirement because they're doing a good job. And with that, we have also worked with fees, and it is a challenge, as you know, to bring fees with programs. And I do believe that incentivizing end users and the regulated community out here through an advance fees or lessening of fees because there's a lessening of regulatory requirement because they're doing a good job is another way to look at it as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very important stance to take as regulatory agencies, as the water boards, to recognize good efforts and to reward good efforts. And I think that Puerto Colón is not necessarily set up as a law and a body of regulations that rewards. And so we have very little opportunity to do so except to lessen the regulatory burden or lessen the cost. And I think you get a big bang for the buck on that front. I think it's an incentive that people will go to it. And we get all of that as an agency.
That's very well put. I'm actually glad you articulated that. I, in a less eloquent way, articulated it in the hearing, and a friendly criticism of our staff. Because one thing I noted, and I'll state here, is that the fees for dredge and fill went up, right, from $900 to $1,000 for a small dredge and fill, but it also went up for restoration projects. And we talk about incentive. We want to create incentives in our fee structure to do things we want to see done and that we know will help water quality.
Right.
And that was an example that I pointed out. I said, I'm not sure if this is the right message. And for next year, I want us to look at that more closely. And I'm challenging state board staff and my fellow board members to look for ways to tier the structures and this sort of thing so that, like you say, if the regional and state boards believe if you're implementing things in a certain way, that's less burden for our staff. So let's find a way to kind of reflect that in the fee structure. And I think the North Coast Region Board, that's a good example of that. I know you've used that and used it successfully.
next meeting.
Thank you for any other questions for Steve? Steve, thank you very much for coming. Really appreciate it. Executive Office's report, Matt.